Good evening. Oh, hallelujah. Wasn't that wonderful being able to worship the Lord together? I appreciate your participation in worship and in the testimony service. Just your participation about being here on this cold, dark, rainy night. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord with you. Amen. It's a blessing. Oh, God's good. God is a good, good God. And y'all are good people. Amen. Because God's the one that makes who we are. Amen. When we got anything else that would come across the forefront of our mind, we've got to bring it under subjection to the truth of what the Word of God says and allow God's will, as we talked about this morning, be done in and through our lives and let our understanding be according to what Jesus thinks about us. Amen. Nothing, nobody else.
That's right.
What Jesus thinks. God's got good thoughts for us. He said, I have an expected end for us. That's what you and I are looking for. The end of all things, of sure, but the end of every situation for God to have His will.
Yes.
That's what we want. If you would, open up your Bibles to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 30, and then in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as we'll read a verse out of both places. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is we need to be, as Christians, we need to be prepared always. But we need to be prepared for persecution. There's so many things that's happened just this year that you would have thought would never happen in America. And persecution is on the rise all the way around the world, but it's on the rise here tremendously. When you have a fifth grade boy in an American Midwest school that bows his head to say grace, and the teacher jerks him out of his chair and tells him he has no right to say grace and nothing's done about it, it's time to pay attention. When they say that you can't say grace at the senior citizen center, it's time to take notice. Things is happening. Things is changing. There's a shifting in the tide. But what you and I have got to be in a place and a position. You remember what Japan said after the attack on Pearl Harbor? They made a statement. They said, I fear that we have awakened a sleeping giant. Talking about America with it. Well, with the attack on the church, we need to awake. Amen. That Paul tells us that in the book of Romans. He talks to the church and he says, it's high time that the church awakes. And we need to awake out of our slumber and recognize and realize what's going on. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because we need to be prepared for this coming year. There's many resolutions that has been signed that has not even been talked about. It's been done in the back room, and it goes completely against our rights as American citizens. And you and I, we need to know what's coming, because the only way we can be prepared for it is as you allow the Holy Spirit to increase your faith, my faith, to be able to make a stand, because we're going to have to stand against evil, because this is the evil day. Amen? All right, Proverbs chapter 30, if you would. Let's read verse 25, and then we'll go to 2 Timothy 3 and 12. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25. The Word of God says, the ants are a people not strong. Now, highlight this in your mind's eye and write it in your Bible. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. 2 Timothy, very familiar verse of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus may suffer persecution. Shall suffer persecution. Let's pray. Father, we stand before you tonight, a group of people. We're here on this rainy night because we love you and we're hungry for your truth. And Father, I ask that you open up our eyes like they've never been opened before, that you touch us by the anointing of the Spirit of the living God and help us. You said not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. You said neither give place to the devil. Help us, Father, in every situation and circumstance of our life, see the devices that the enemy's trying to work. Let us see the place that he's trying to invade and take over. And help us to be in a place and a position now while we have the opportunity, while it is summer, that we can prepare. We can prepare for the coming woes of the enemy. And we can be in a place and a position where our faith is full. That the Word is in our heart. And our very bodies are brought under subjection by that word, and our soul, our mind is renewed, and our spirit is strong. Let it be, Father. We ask this not just for us, but for the church, your church. In Jesus' name, and we all say,
amen,
amen and amen. Hallelujah. We've got to be ready, and we've got to prepare now for what's coming ahead. We've got to be in a place just like Solomon used the illustration of the ant. You and I, we can look at how industrious they are, and how they, while it's time to do what needs to be done, they get the job done. They in the right time. Well, you and I, as Christians, as believers, we're in a situation now where our government has been completely and totally taken over by different viewpoints. They can call Allah God if they want to. It's not the God of Jesus. It's not the God that loves you enough to send Jesus to save you, to save me. We need to know that. We need to be ready to make a stand for that, because we're talking about life and death. We're talking about heaven and hell. And when we talk about a message like we're going to talk about tonight, it's not a message that makes us want to run and shout. It's a message that makes us want to hit our knees and to have our hearts prepared. Because there, if you look all around the world, and if you look in the United States of America, there's no other religion that is coming under attack, only the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. All of these other people, they can get government grants, they can do what they want to do, but you and I, we're being pushed into a corner. It's been limited as to what we can do and what we can say, and it's just a precursor for what's coming. So you and I, we want to look at these verses of Scripture tonight, and we're not going to be put in a place of fear, or we're not going to be put in a place of defeat. You and I are going to be put in a place of preparation. Because in the place of preparation is a place of great power and great victory. We know the end of the book, amen? We know how it's going to come out. So what we want to do is just, you and I, be in the place of the position on the winning side. We want to be in the place of the position of being ready to do what God, what He would have us to do when He speaks to us, amen? So that's what this is about. All right, now let's look at here in this verse in 2 Timothy 3:12, and let's allow it to really hit home to us. Now he says, yea. Now this is an assurance. This is a true statement. He said, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, when we look at this verse, what we've got to understand is, you say, well, Greg, I'm not under much persecution. I don't have any persecution. And so what we've got to do is we've got to take this verse and make sure that we understand what it's saying. Because I want you to stop just for a minute, and I want you to think about your life right now, where it's at. I want you to see where you're at in your relationship with Jesus. And I want you to think about where you're at in your prayer life, where you're at in your faith, and all of those things. And then I want you to look back over your shoulder just for a second. And I want you to see how far you've come. Now, in these steps that you've made in your growth, what it's saying is that you're more godly in Christ Jesus today than you were yesterday, than you were when you first got saved. And so what the Apostle Paul here is saying to Timothy, to help him to be prepared, the young evangelist, and what he's saying to this is an epistle to the church, he's saying the more godly that you and I get, which simply means the more Christ-like, the more that you and I live by this word, the more that you're going to suffer, the more that I'm going to suffer persecution. As long as we're lukewarm, like the churches in the book of Revelation, the Laodicean church, if we're in that situation, people's not going to bother you. The devil's not going to bother you. Why? Because you're not a threat. But when you start making a stand for what's right, and you start revealing what's wrong, you start showing that men love darkness rather than light, and you start standing up and allowing the light of Jesus to come out of your life, that's when persecution is going to come. Because you're in a relationship with Jesus, and it's progressive. Amen? It's progressive. You're growing. I'm growing. And so every day as we grow and become more like Jesus, then the reflection of Jesus will be in your life and in my life, and it's going to what? It's going to increase the persecution. It's going to increase because the Bible tells us in the last days that sin is going to abound. Well, the only thing that stops sin is the grace of God. and you're an evidence, I'm an evidence of the grace of God. We're here tonight because of God's grace. Jesus touched us, amen, by the revelation of the sacrifice of God through Jesus, the Spirit of God in our lives. That's the grace. And so what we want to do is we want to look at some scriptures that will help us. Now, let's talk about this progressive. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and I know Brother Dennis will be teaching on this next week, but I want to hit just a couple verses and talk about this progressive growing in the Lord, and that means it's going to be progressive persecution, okay? In Ephesians chapter 5, look what is taught here, starting in verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as, just as much, in the like manner, as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might," what? "He might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the Word." So what we're talking about here, every day that you and I are in this relationship with God the Father by the Spirit through Jesus Christ, the Word of God is being presented to you. It's being presented to me. And it's washing us. It's changing the way we think. It's changing our attitudes. It's changing our speech. It's putting a different desire in our life. So it's progressive. Progressively, every day we're becoming more like Jesus. Amen? Now, see, look at the next verse. He said, in verse 27, one day, this is what's going to happen, that He, Jesus, might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So this is progressive. Okay, now what did Paul write? He said, yea, it's a truth, it's a surety, it's a fact. Those who live godly, they're going to suffer. They shall suffer persecution. So that means as we're going further along in this plan of God, and we got a plan of the devil to try to stop what God wants and has in store for each one of us, as you and I are washed by the water of the Word, as more light shines through us, then persecution is going to, it's going to progress, just like your Christianity, your understanding, your walk, your willingness to listen and to obey. It's going to be progressive. So the enemy's going to progress in your life and in my life. So we've got to see that. We've got to recognize it. And we've got to see that no matter what happens around us, it's a ploy by the enemy to stop this progression, to stop this water coming, the water of the Word, Jesus coming in your life and changing everything about you. Now, He said He was going to have a glorious church. He's going to be the King, and we're going to be the bride of Christ. Amen? Now, let's think about this just for a minute. We don't have time to talk about it, but in the book of Esther, chapter 2, you can read the story about Esther getting ready to meet her king. And down about verse number 12, we find out that it takes her a year before she comes in to that place of that relationship, come into the presence of the king. And why? It was a period of getting ready, of preparation. Well, you and I, we're being prepared every day for the sounding of the trumpet. Amen? For you and I being reunited to Christ. And it's a preparation time. But at that same time, every day she was being changed by the things that she was doing. By following the commands of the king. Well, that's what you and I are doing. That's an Old Testament type for us to learn by. We're being changed every day by the commands of the king. And it's not just this word that's on these pages. It's the word that's alive in you. It's this word that Jesus, by His Spirit, is talking to you, His children. Amen? It's washing you. It's changing you. And so it's causing you to stand up. In times before, you might turn around and not say anything. Or you might turn around and not do anything when you've seen an injustice. When you've seen a work of the enemy. But the time is coming when there's going to be so much righteous indignation inside of you. There's going to be so much compassion. See, so much, for so long, the church, and someday, I'm getting ahead of myself in the future, the Lord's got me a message on this, but the church for so long has been controlled by sympathy. Sympathy is absolutely worthless. Jesus didn't have sympathy. He was moved with compassion. Compassion puts you on your feet. Compassion causes your arms to be put into motion. It opens your mouth and it causes you to stand up and say, this is right, that's wrong. Jesus is the one who has the final say and we're going to follow Him. Amen? That's what compassion does. It takes a wrong and it makes it right. And the only way a wrong can be made right is by Jesus Christ. And so what you and I want to do in this time of preparation, in this time where we're not being just persecuted on every corner, every avenue, every vein that the enemy would have, we want to be ready to let the Word come in us. God wants to put a Word in you today that's going to enable you, empower you, cause you to be a light tomorrow when you encounter that darkness, when you encounter that injustice, where you'll be so sure of what God's will is that you'll say, hey, this is not God's will. You're out of the will of God. You're out of God's plan. And then you allow God to use you to change the whole thing by you being the vessel, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about prepared by the Word of God, being in a place where the Word moves all over us to build us up. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's look at a verse. 1 Peter chapter 4, for sake of time, look at verse 12. 1 Peter 4 and 12, he says, Beloved, don't you love that? I love it that God loves us. We are of the Beloved.
Yes, amen.
We're of Jesus, amen. He says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. We need to know and recognize as Christians that there's going to be things happen. This fiery trial, another place this is used, we don't have time to look at, is in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. It's in there two different places, down about verse 9 and maybe about verse 18. And anyway, the word, it's talking about when the people see the world, see the great harlot, see it burning. And seeing it come to nothing. And so we see what the meaning of the word. The devil wants to bring you and I to nothing. He wants to destroy us, but he can't. He can't, because greater is he that is in you, the blood-bought Christian, the believer, than he that is in the world. Amen? And so there may be trials and there may be struggles and there may be things that happen in your life, in my life, and it may escalate. I believe with all my heart it's going to escalate in the coming year. But what we've got to do is don't think it's strange. The word strange there, it means don't think that it's not a foreign thing. Because it's not anything about you or anything about me. It's of the devil. It's of his kingdom. You and I, we're not of this world, amen? We're of the eternal kingdom, the lasting kingdom. We're of the kingdom of God. And so what we want to do, we want to be in a place and a position where as we see all the things that's happening, we don't let the world influence us. Come on. Right now, you and I, we cannot turn on the television without having to make a choice. We got to make a choice every time we turn it on. Am I going to watch this? Am I going to even be able to find something that's fit to watch? Come on, they're inundating you. They're inundating me. They're trying to influence us in every corner. From the news, you can't even watch the news. Stuff that they tell is not news.
Right. That's right.
Come on, it is to bring fear in your life and in my life. It's to control us. It's to manipulate us. And then try to get us obsessed with all of these people who are living ungodly lives, doing despicable things, and try to get us to concentrate on what they're doing. You and I, we got to be about our master's business, amen? We got to recognize the ploy of the enemy, and we've got to be in the place where this water, the washing of the water of the Word, is changing us. And we recognize and realize that this world isn't going to stop the plan of God, and thus it's not going to stop us. It's not. We're going to go forward. We're going to be in a place and a position. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Come on, God thinks that you're worthy to be tried.
That's right. That's right.
Come on, He does.
That's right.
What did He say when Job was tried? He said, "That's my boy."
Yes.
Things didn't go exactly the way that Job would have liked, and things didn't go exactly the way God would like. But God said, "I'm proud of Job."
Yes.
Amen. And He brought restoration. He everything was restored, double fold. You and I have got to be in a place and position where we've got to know that God has the final say in our lives. And God's proud of you. And He allows situations and circumstances to happen where you can lean on God and you can know that you made it through it by the grace of God. Tonight, if we had time, every one of you could share a testimony with me about how you made it through something and you know beyond a doubt that God Almighty brought you through it. Amen? That makes God proud. That makes you strong. And that empowers you to be able to stand up when darkness tries to show its ugly head. Amen? And it's going to. Alright. Let's look here in John chapter 8. You know these verses of Scripture very well. But let's look at something here. Talking about this progression. To be more godly. John 8 in 30 it says, "And Jesus spake these words, many believed on Him." When the Word of God goes forth, that's how what Brother Dennis talked about this morning. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He said, you believe in the heart and you confess with the mouth. Amen? And that's what happens when the Word goes forth. But verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him." See, Jesus is always talking to the believer. He's drawing those who are without, but He's always talking to you. Because you and I are the believer. Now look what He says here. He says, "If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed." In other words, that continuous meno in the Greek tongue, and it means to abide, to stay, to live, to have an expectancy. He said, if your expectancy is in My Word, He said, then you're My disciple. Well, and He said, by you're being a disciple, that's how what? How all men shall know. Because you have love. Being disciplined and walking in love. Walking in the Spirit of God rather than walking in the things the enemy would have us to. But look what the progression, look what happens. He said in verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Come on, that's progressive. That's being more godly. That means every day Jesus is going to speak to me because I believe.
That's right. Amen.
Every day. I don't have to wait for Sunday. Praise God for Sunday. Praise God for Sunday night. Praise God for Bible study. Praise God for all these things. But I don't have to wait for somebody to come to me. I can have Jesus by the Spirit to speak to me tonight, tomorrow night, when the trouble is it's very strongest, I have Jesus. When the enemy's trying to take my feet out from under me, I got Jesus to talk to me. And He said, I would know the truth and I would be free from what was happening. Tonight, there's people all over the world. They're believing a lie. Now, if the truth makes me free, what does a lie do? Come on, it bounds you up. If truth makes you alive, then a lie, it kills you. Amen? Okay, so what we've got to do as a church, as the church, you're the church of the living God, of Jesus Christ. We've got to stand up and tell people, there is a way that's better than what you're doing. We're not condemning you. We're not wanting to change you ourselves. We want to invite you into a relationship with somebody who has love for you and who loves you so much that He has answers for your very hurt, for your discouragement, for your despair. He has healing for your heart. Amen? All of these things. We want to allow the cords of God, which is love, to be manifested in our life. And we want to take those cords, which is the net, and we want to go fishing. Amen? And we want to sling that net out there. We want to pull by the Spirit of God people in and allow them to know that God wants to talk to them. Come on, they're being lied to. The devil's talking to them every day. And they're getting more and more bound up. They're getting more and more confused. Wrong is being called right. Light is being called darkness. All of these things. And so it's only up to you and I. We're God's vessel and we're progressively being changed. And so that means we're becoming more godly. And if we're becoming more godly, we're going to expect more persecution. But the reason why the persecution is going to come is because we're doing some good. Amen? Every time in the book of Acts, the church went from 120 to 3,000 to 8,000. Come on, it kept growing and growing. But 3,000 got saved one time, 5,000 another time. Why? Persecution. They had to depend upon God. And their light was so true and real that people knew that if I went to where they were at, I would meet God.
Yes.
And I want you to know that if people go to where you're at and you're believing God, you're hearing from God, it's no different today. Believe that. You feel the anointing on that? Come on, that's the truth of the Spirit of God. He wants to use you like never before. But we got to believe that we can hear Him and receive it. Amen? Turn over, let's look at the 16th chapter of this same gospel. I want to hold you with just a few more minutes. John chapter 16. Look at this last verse, verse 33. John 16, 33. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken." Remember, those who believe, they hear Jesus talk. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." You might have peace. Now, this scripture is the only thing that takes me out of despair. You know, like I told you, I always very transparent with you and very honest with you. I'm a very emotional person. I am. God made me that way. And He made me that way for a reason. But the devil likes to take the things that God made a blessing and turn them into a cursing. Amen? And so what I've got to do is, When the things that God put in me that are so easily offended or hurt or turned by situations, I've got to come back and I go, wait a minute now, I don't have peace in this. And Jesus, He promised me. He told me that in Him I would have peace. And there's not peace in this, so thus, there's a lie going around. There's something that the enemy were at work here. So in the name of Jesus, this is, and that's a type of persecution. Understand what I'm talking about? When you're being attacked in your mind or in your body, it's persecution. It's the devil coming against you. And the way that you and I always overcome persecution is by being able to hear the truth. So what I got to do is I got to say, now wait a minute. There's not peace here. Lord, right now I believe You. So speak to me. What's the truth? And all of a sudden, you may have to fight through some waves, and it may seem like your house is going to come down, but you know that you're on the rock. All of a sudden, you may hear one word, one phrase. There may be a verse of Scripture that comes across the butt of your mind. But when you go there, come on, if you open up your Bible and you go there, or if the Spirit speaks the Scripture to you, you receive it in your heart. All of a sudden, peace comes. Come on, they were talking about how to make it in the coming times of persecution. The only way you and I will ever make it is we've got to see that in Him we can have peace. We can have peace no matter what's happening. Okay, now look what He said. I know you can quote the verse, but He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall." Come on. You shall have tribulation. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be trouble, trials, all sorts of problems. But what we've got to do is we've got to find that word in the situation. Because look what He says. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now He said, because He overcome, you and I can overcome. Amen? And remember we talked about it, I said it in testimony service. Psalms 34:19, "Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all."
Amen.
So what we got to do is, when the devil is saying, "You're going down this time," you tell the devil what the verse says.
That's right.
"Uh-uh, my God is delivering me." Amen. "My God is giving me peace. My God is greater. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's done defeated you 2,000 years ago, and you're going into the pit." Amen. Come on, if you'll tell the devil what the Word says, it'll be just like Jesus in the temptation.
Right.
What happened? All of a sudden, the devil left Jesus. Mm-hmm. For what? A more opportune time. He'll come back. But he left because he couldn't stand the Word. See, a liar can't stand the truth.
That's right.
Come on.
Now, I want you to think about this. You and I are going to encounter a lot of lies this week. This coming year, we're going to encounter them. And the only way we can stop a lie is with the truth. And Jesus said, "I am," John 14:6, "I am the way, I am the truth." And so, we've got to be in the place where we allow the Spirit of truth to remind us of everything, John 14:26, everything that Jesus has promised us.
Yes,
and teach us new things. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory. All right, one more verse and I'll let you go. Let's go to the Old Testament. I believe it's in Psalms 39 or something. Let's see here. Psalms 39. I want us to pray this prayer together. Look at verse number 4. Now, David prayed. This is what he's praying. He says in Psalms 39:4, Lord, make me to know my end. In other words, how can we say that today? Lord, help me know how long I got to live. Help me to know so I don't get caught up in vanity, in things that are trivial, but I make every day count. Amen? But look what he says. He says, Lord, make me to know my end in the measure of my days, what it is. I love this last part now. That I may know how frail I am. Now, let's put that where we can understand it. Sometimes when my flesh is kind of strong and maybe I'm in a fuss with Donna or somebody else, I don't want to be humble. I don't want to admit maybe I was wrong. I don't want to apologize. But what's the psalmist saying here? He's saying, Lord, always let me know that this life is so short. And if I don't take advantage of this situation, I may never have it just like this again. Let me be humble enough to say I love you. I need you. I'm sorry. Come on, he said, if I, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If I'll be humble. And so that's what the psalmist is saying. And so that's what we want to do. Because why am I saying that? Because as persecution arises, as people come against you, we have a tendency to try to push them back. But you see, the harder they come against you, in reality, the more they need you. Now the flesh don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. And so what we want to do is, God, show me. I don't know how much more time I've got to work something out in this situation. You see, I've got some trouble in my life tonight, amen? I've got some heartache. I've got some relationships that are severed, that the devil has just tore upside down. And I need my God to show me the truth of what I need to do, how much time I've got, and how I need to act and react. You see, the flesh will lie to us. And the flesh will always be selfish. But you and I, we've got a God that when persecution comes, He speaks to us because we believe. He'll show us the truth. And we can act in that truth. And that persecution, instead of being something that would put us down, it would cause the love of God to rise up in us. Amen? Oh, that's our God. Oh, I want you to be excited. Yes, trouble is on. It's in the future. But it's not greater than the one who's defeated all situations.
Right.
Pray with me. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you, Father, for your mercy and your love. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you touch each and every one of us that's here tonight. And every struggle that we may be facing, every bit of persecution from family, from friends, from neighbors, from co-workers, from situations of the enemy, whether it be in our minds, it be in our bodies, whether it's in our bank accounts, whether it's in our jobs, whatever it might be, you know all about it. And we just ask that since we believe, we ask for us to be able tonight to be able to hear from you. You spoke to those who believed and you enabled them to be made free in situations and circumstances. Lord, tonight there's some hurt places in people's lives that has them bound up. But tonight there can be freedom. There can be victory. All we've got to do is hear from you. And this will be the stepping stone that will help us when outside persecution increases upon the church, because you, by the washing of the water of the Word, will be more real to us than anything else. Draw us right now, Father. Speak to us. Help us. I ask you in Jesus' by name. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar? And just say, Lord, here I am. I want to be prepared for the coming persecution. Or maybe tonight you need some help for persecution that you're facing right now. Maybe the enemy's trying to put some awe in your heart, some hurt in your heart, some separation, whatever it might be. Tonight, you and I, we're in a great place. We're in a place to hear from God by the Spirit, causing Jesus to talk to us. Whatever you might need, it's yours. See, Jesus spread out His arms and He said, it is finished. And every part of the covenant, He died to give it to you, to me, to cause us to be blessed. Life is in the blood. Well, the blood is the blood of Jesus. And so that means that because we believe and accept and receive that blood, we have all life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the blanket of anointing right now upon and within. Upon and within. We receive and we allow it to do exactly what you would have it to do. And to
bring in. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I mean, I'm not what I'm going to be yet, but every day I'm being made. You're being made into a fisher of mankind. Amen? Glory. Any other needs tonight before we dismiss? Anybody got anything to share? Remember to pray for those who are not there. Catalyst to the church to come help us pray for Justin's mom. She's got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. And I think Father Larry's got a doctor's appointment this week sometime. If anybody else does too, let's pray.
He's coming too.
It's tomorrow too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for Sister Dorothy, Lord. We ask that you just touch her, Lord, as we lay hands on Taylor, Lord. Let that very tangible anointing, let it flow. Lord, there's no distance, there's no time in the Spirit. Touch her right now on the top of her head and the soles of her feet. We pray in this upcoming doctrine. We pray for a good report. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that every strife, for every situation that she has in her life, let us speak to her about it. And let her believe you for it. Your word says that you send your word and heal us. Let her hear that word that she needs for what's number one right now, what's most troubling right now, what she needs right now at the diners that are here by the Spirit of God, and that healing virtue flow through her by the anointing, that every yoke be destroyed, God. We ask in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, for this upcoming doctor's appointment. Lord, you know exactly what's going on beyond any shadow of a doubt. And we just ask, Lord, that you will give the doctor's wisdom, Lord, like never before. Don't let them just go by the textbook. Let them be led and inspired where their knowledge lacks and is limited by the Holy Spirit, whether they recognize it, realize it or not. Open up their mind to what needs to be done. Lord, in the meantime, we're standing on the fact that you took stripes. We're standing on the fact that you love us, that your body was broken for our healing. We're going to stand on that. And however you choose to do it, whether through medicine, whether through doctrine, whether through just a miracle, Lord, we know that you're the God that is able, you're the God that is more than enough, and we thank you for it. We thank you for peace and understanding and comfort in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, praise you, praise you. Responded, they may have been at their seat, Lord, but you have talked to them and they have heard from you tonight, and I thank you for that, and we praise you for it. And I ask that as you
help us to walk through this coming week and this coming year. Help us to be empowered more and more by the reality of the intimacy that we have with you and through you. And we thank you in advance for everything that you are going to do in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless y'all. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're going to go ahead and take up the offering now for this family that lost this little girl. Brother David, would you mind to take up the offering? I believe the baskets are down there underneath the pew. One of the baskets is down there. And Brother Bill, would you pray over the offering?
Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask you, Lord, to bless this offering, Lord, to bless this family. And God, we pray, God, that this would go forth and meet the need this needs, Lord. We give you all the praise in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
While he's taking up the offering, are there any announcements for the church or the community that we need to know about?
The Bible study is Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay. Because Thursday is New Year's Eve, and I know that people probably have things going with their family, the Bible study for this week has been moved to Wednesday at 6:30. For those of you who are interested and would like to come and join us, it's been a blessing so far. It really, really has been. And it's good to have that midweek refuel and everything to get together and learn from God's Word and just to have a fellowship with each other. I mean, it's a good refuel. It really is. So if you can make it out, you're more than welcome. Wednesday night, 6:30. If there's no other announcements, y'all have a safe New Year and have a happy New Year. And Brother Larry, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we have together, Lord. And we learn your word and ourselves through your word, Lord. And guide us through your word, Lord. And please guide our direction and our life, Lord. And give us every need that we have, Lord. And put our trust in you. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
And we'll see y'all next year.